Lord, please don't replace me. I still want to be used for your purpose. I profess to know you. In secret I've betrayed you. So many times I need your grace, oh Jesus. My conscience is against me. Lord, only you can help me. Revive me, restore me. Don't replace me. Oh God, I don't wanna be replaced. I don't wanna be replaced. I wanna be replaced. Restore me, Lord, please. I don't wanna be replaced. I don't wanna be replaced. I wanna be replaced. Restore me, Lord, please. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Come on, lift up your hands and sing it like you mean it.
Welcome you to our educational talk show. This is your humble host, Dr. Emmanuel Brownville the Kid. At this show, we find solutions. We make recommendations to the Liberian educational system. Today, we are going to be talking about why must governments interfere in education and how actual is education policy. At this time, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to introduce our studio guest and elaborate on our topic. At this time, let us take a break. our listeners, for those of you in America and Liberia and different parts of the world. This is your Educator Talk Show. If you wish to participate, we want you to text this number, 347-286-1716. Once again, the number is 347-286-1716. This show is right here at Radio Nivad International. At this moment, we want to present our studio guest. We have two distinguished personalities with us tonight. In studio, we have Mr. Adam Seeker, who is totally involved into education development. And we also have Ambassador and Deacon Charles Johnson Jr. At this moment, we're going to give the opportunity to each of them to introduce themselves 2 minutes each. And from there, we're going to get into the flow of the show. At this time, we want to recognize Mr. Seeker. You are most welcome, and you are live on Radio Nivad International.
Hey, thank you very much, then, Dr. DK. The name is Seeker. I know you are doing really well at trying to pronounce it. So my name is Alvin Seeker. I'm from Liberia, Nivad County, to be precise. I live in Indianapolis, Indiana, with my family. I'm married to a beautiful wife and three kids. And I have a 9-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 5-year-old. Like I said, we all live in Indiana here. I run a foundation called the BKS Foundation. We primarily focus in rural Liberia. We are currently working in Nivad County, where, like you said, we are highly vested in education. We provide tuition assistance to several students. And then we also have a pocket-sized project that we undertake as we go along. So education is what we strive for. We have our team in Liberia, in Monrovia, and we have some in Nivad County. And we are working very hard to see how we can contribute to Mother Liberia. So that's what we do. And I live in Indiana. I go to Liberia all the time. Matter of fact, I just returned from a trip to Nivad County, Boo Tour, by the border there. And we went on some assessment tour for our upcoming event that will be in Nivad. So that's what we'll do. I'm glad to be on this show. I'm glad to be a part of it. Thank you very much for inviting me, and I look forward to a fruitful discussion.
We are pleased to have you, Mr. Seeker. And before we can go to our second guest, you know, I was going through your profile, I mean, your website, and looking at some of those things that you are doing for Liberia. One thing that really touched me was how you've been involved in advocating for underprivileged children to obtain education and also social entrepreneurship. So those things we will try to go in depth. But at this time, we want to recognize Deacon Ambassador Charles Johnson Jr., who are live in studio. Introduce yourself to your guest.
Thank you, Dr. Deke, my good friend and brother. It is a pleasure to be on this show tonight to contribute our quota towards the educational sector of Liberia. My name is Charles Johnson. I am married with a very wonderful family. I work with the New York City Department of Children's Services. I'm also an independent consultant. Currently, we do a lot of work in Liberia, helping to transform and impact the educational sector of our country. We have a little over 600 students on our scholarship, wherein we also provide educational subsidies to those students in terms of computers, books, etc. We've visited about 8 different schools in Liberia, and we have made our impact felt there, wherein we helped to improve the library of those schools and provide computers and other schools' materials that will help our younger brothers and sisters. I'm open to this discussion. We look forward to achieving some very good solutions at the end of this discourse. Once again, thank you, and I'd like to say good morning to our friends and comrades in Liberia who are listening to this show, and I say good evening to all of our colleagues within the confines of the United States of America. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
We are pleased to have you, Ambassador and Deacon Johnson. Well, today you have come to discuss why must government interfere in education and how actual is education policy. Let me just give a little explanation about this topic. Education policy has to do with principles, government policy that make up education itself. We're talking about the collections of laws and the rules that govern the operations of education. Having said that, first of all, we will want to identify how government interferes within education. We talk about the support. We talk about the interference that has to do with the support. And also whether we have a policy in Liberia. We have educational laws and rules that govern every institution within the country. So technically, the discussion is going to cycle around those things. But this moment, we want to invite our audience. If you are close to your radio, if you listen to us by phone, if even on the internet, you can text us at 347-286-1716. The number, again, is 347-286-1716. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to engage our student guests in more detail to education. Let us take a break right now. Thank you.
Zayo. De ka buka ko mawe asianga obo.
Aguyaye. Ain't no money. They don't mind no, you don't get me at. Get me at, baby, y'all. Men who I'm up in a man, who don't give us too much. Tell my language. I put a job at home, so work on the wall. My language, no, no, no. Once the time we'll be back home, so work on the wall, who never was a good day. Ay, 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 ay,
solution and make recommendations to the Liberian education system. Well, at this time, we're going to turn to our guests. Firstly, we want to start with Mr. Alvin Seker. Why must government interfere in education, and how actual is education policy?
Again, thank you very much, Dr. J.K. There are so many things that our government can do to help our people. Like I said, I just returned from Liberia, and I have to say there are so many things that we need more help than we have. So let me start by giving an example, because we currently work in rural Liberia, like I early mentioned. So in Butuo town, which is one of the biggest town in my district, they have two high schools there. So that high school, which put out high school graduates, doesn't have teachers for certain subjects. Take, for example, last time I was there, the school never had a geographic teacher. So on that day, where there was no teacher, the student had to go home, leave class early. So yeah, over there putting students out, high school students out, being able to complete all the subject, the core subject they are supposed to complete to come out. So as a result of that, when they get out, they are incomplete. They are half-baked, for lack of a better word. So we need our government to help in so many ways. So what happened now in Liberia is not just in the education sector, but since we are based on that now, you'll see that everyone is focused right in Monrovia. It happens that our government, whatever they literally have to do now that they are doing, is focused right in Monrovia. And those outside of Monrovia are left on their own. So to answer the question back to the topic about what can the government do, so if you compare, if you look at the United States of America, there are so many things that the government here has done from way back, from Head Start program in 1965 that was passed by the federal government, to the Even Start program, to an early Head Start program, to No Child Left Behind that was recently passed in 2001 during the Bush administration, to early First Start, to so many things that the government can do as far as helping those people and helping our educational system. So it doesn't have to be...
Mr. Alvin Seker, I just want to pause you over there for a while. You know, now, we want to limit this entire thing to a point where you're going to tell us, you know, looking at the BKS Foundation, what are you guys achieving in Liberia? Can you tell us what philosophy do you have? What strategic plan have you put in place to succeed in Liberia?
So Yeah, what we have is, since we are working with those people over there, we cannot continue to feed them as far as giving tuition assistance all the time. So what we are doing is we are providing scholarship for teachers from that area. So we provide a scholarship to them. We know we're going to some type of contractual agreement where we'll send them to school, we'll bring them to Ganto, to Monrovia, to San Nicolio, the community college that they're, wherever they can come to go to school. So after they come there and go to school, the agreement is they will have to return back to that part of Liberia to teach their brothers and sisters that are there. So that's the 5-year, 6-year strategic plan we have right now. We have all mapped out. So we have teachers, we have people that we are sponsoring, sending to school, and then at the end of the day, they will return back to those regions to be able to help their brothers and sisters. So that's what we're doing. This is, and it's not government funded. It's something that our foundation, not-for-profit, strategized. That's how we think we can help. Since the government doesn't have the means, that is not going that far, we are doing it that way. So that's BKS's point as far as helping people in that region through education without just giving.
Mr. Seka, now let us look at the subsidies of government, how government interfering with education with regards to your organization. Now, BKS in Liberia are helping to enhance education. Do you receive some support from government? Do you think that you guys are going to succeed with all the assistance of government?
To be frank with you, right now, the organization is still in the embryonic stages. We are, I think, a little over 2 years old now. We do seek out assistance. We have tried reaching out. Matter of fact, when I went Monrovia recently, I tried meeting with the education minister, but my attempt was not successful because he was a little busy. So, in essence, yes, we would need it. Not just us, but any organization, any foundation, any entity that is involved in education, especially outside of Monrovia, I think they warrant the grant some type of assistance from the government. And I think, from my personal experience, what we're doing now, although we are doing it with our government subsidy, I think if we had government subsidy, if we had any form of assistance from the government, it would be a huge booster to our operation and to what we do, and people will start to benefit more. So I personally think, I think the government, like I said, cannot do everything. It should be able to Skype out there and look out and see what entities, what type of organizations that are out there, like BKS Foundation, that are trying to help people, that are trying to help when it comes to education. So, yes, I think the government needs to step in a little bit more and do more than what they are doing now in assisting foundations and entrepreneurs, social entrepreneurs and educational foundation to have that goal be met.
So, Mr. Zika, before I leave you and go to Ambassador Johnson, I just want to just tell you a little about government support, which is the interference part of this topic. Now, do you think government is supporting education? Are you guys receiving support being an international organization that helping students in Liberia?
No, I don't think so. I don't think, and I'm speaking from my personal experience, Doc. I don't think entities like ours, because we get labeled because we have this international stigma on us, and everyone thinks that we come from America, we have all the funds, we have all the money, and that's the mindset there. So we don't receive any government subsidy. Matter of fact, I tried reaching out to our leaders from within the district that I'm working, and we were met with stiff resistance because the fear of you going there and doing something with hidden agenda is so bad where you can't get any form of assistance. So, no, to answer your question, I don't think we are receiving any assistance. I don't know if it's because we are coming from the States and we're going there and they have the notion that we're carrying all the money. But the system is not there. We are just trying to make things happen with whatever we have here. And you know the system, how things work here in the States. So we are just trying to give back. But I don't think government is giving any assistance to other people. Most people that I know, most of my colleagues in the same organization we are running, we don't have any form of assistance at all, zero.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Taker. At this time, we want to bring in Ambassador Johnson. Ambassador Johnson, could you tell us what sort of education policy we have in Liberia? What can we hold up to enhance education?
Dr. Dickie, thank you. First thing is that I'd like to break the topic down into segments because the first question that I see here is, why must government interfere in education? And the next portion of this question is, how accurate is education policy? Now, we are narrowing this discussion down to Liberia. We must be aware that Article 6 of the Liberian Constitution, and let me just read it for you. The Republic shall, because of the vital role assigned to individual citizens under the Constitution of Social, Economic, and Political Well-being of Liberia, provide equal access to educational opportunities and facilities for all citizens to the extent of available resources. Emphasis shall be placed on the mass education of Liberian people and the elimination of illiteracy. So we must be aware that it is the responsibility of government to interfere in the educational system or sector of our country. Now, when it comes to how actual is education policy, whatever policy that emanates from the government that becomes effective for our educational system, we must be aware that these policies are in alignment with what our Constitution states. Now, you will find that the Ministry of Education is the government regulating body for the educational sector in our country. The primary, secondary, high school, and universities, colleges, etc. So government interference in the educational sector should be seen as their responsibility. It is the responsibility of the government to interfere. Now, what are some of the policies that this government has come up with? The first thing is that in 2002, there was an education law that was crafted. Then in 2000, because of time, we will not be able to go into all of these in depth. But in 2011, the government also established the Education Reform Act, which incorporated the compulsory primary education for students in Liberia. You see, some of these policies, the intents are good, but how government has been going about disseminating the information that are within the policy, like the compulsory primary education in Liberia, you will find out that even in Monrovia, the capital, the seat of this government, there have not been sufficient or adequate awareness for people to be
okay,
aware.
Mr. Johnson, let me just hold you over there for a second. We have a caller from Atlanta, Georgia, and his last 4 digits is 3258. Caller, you are welcome, and you are live in studio. This is the Educational Talk Show with Dr. Emmanuel Bradford here. You are most welcome.
Yeah, hello?
Hello, do you have questions for our studio guests, or do you have comments?
Oh, yes, I have a comment, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I mean, the question today was, you know, why do government have to be involved, right?
Correct.
Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, why government must interfere in education?
Yes, I mean, we all understand that, you know, even that question is very easy to answer. Also, the thing is, government have to be involved because we have to make sure that there's equality in education, which also we all know that if government does not get involved, if you leave it with individuals, every child is not going to have the same equipment, the same tools to have a better education. Even though when it comes to the study, it's going to be different. No matter how equal the education is, but the study is going to be different because everyone don't have the same brain. We all get that. But when it comes to the materials and stuff in schools, we have to let the government interfere so we can have equilibrium. So, but and also, The thing, my other opinions I wanted to add is, when I spoke to you guys last week, my name is Kamara, Little Kamara. I've been a few times I spoke with you on giving my opinion, and we all try to find solutions. And I have come up with some solutions. After, you know, like I told you, as a young man, I'm doing some research. I did some research, and I'm trying to come up with some solutions that we all agree that we need solutions. Can't just talk without solutions. So I have some form that, you know, one of my topic title is called My ABCD Formula for Liberal Education Equality. And that's the title of my formula. So I believe that I can give you some suggestions that I think if we apply some of these formulas, that we'll have a better education in Liberia for all human race, no matter how, what levels of village you live, Ganta, whatever you are, you can have an equal education for every Liberian, and we all will be served on the right purpose. But if you have time, I can give you an email, or you can give me your email. I can give you some, I can send it, the link to you that you can read it. And
okay. Mr. Kamara, we really appreciate that, and this is the essence of this show. We are finding solutions. We want to make recommendations to the Liberian education system. We want to work with them. We want to design a strategic plan that will enhance education in the country.
Yes, sir.
But first of all, we want to establish whether we have an education policy, whether
yes.
the government is supporting education in Liberia. So my question to you, do you think the government is effectively supporting education in Liberia?
Well, sir, the government is. If that question is to go, that question is diverse, because if I answer directly and say no, you know, I would be wrong in absence of majority would say, Mr. Kamara, you don't, it's not right, because no matter what, government still want to support, even though they are physically supporting, but the mentality of supporting is not applying to what we all expect for them to do. And this is the problem with Liberian government. They are saying what they're supposed to do, but they're not doing what they're saying. And that's the problem we're having in Liberia. People are saying different things and doing different things. It's not the same thing. I can tell you, Mr. DK, that's a DK right now. That's a DK. Mr. Kamara is a graduate from this university, and then you come, and then I come and tell you some things that are not right. And then later on, you find out, oh, Mr. Kamara, well, he told me this, he told me that. That's the problem with Liberia. They are not doing what they are saying. And that's the problem we're having. They are not doing what they are saying, and that is the
Mr. Kamara,
yes.
We want to thank you for giving us your input, and we would love to have your strategies that you have, you know, those plans that you just told us about. We have our emails that you can send that to. Try to follow us on Radio NEMA International. Send us those recommendations. And then we can be able to forward them to the education ministry, because, like we said, it is all about Liberia. Finding
yes, sir.
Solutions and making recommendations. We want to thank you for coming on live, and you've been one of our regular listeners. We want to encourage you to come on every Monday at 9:30 p.m. Thank you once more for coming on. Now, this
no
time,
problem.
We want to go back to Ambassador Johnson. Ambassador Johnson, do you believe that inefficiency is a major obstacle retarding efforts to provide selective education in Liberia? What has the government done to address these major challenges?
You see, the government has, to some extent, in recent time, the president appointed a new education minister in our country. And I think the footing of the education minister has been on track. The first thing that minister did was, after he assumed the responsibility, he had an open dialogue with different educational professionals, the students, and the Liberian National Student Union. They were also represented. When the government starts to do these things, then we see that they are getting the masses involved. Because most often, the ministers and officials of the Ministry of Education sit in their offices in Monrovia, but they do not move about
especially to remote part of the country, to actually see what is occurring within the operations of the educational sector of Nigeria. There have been some slackness and so many slackness in our government policy in terms of improving the educational sector in Liberia. I gave you an instance in 2014 when I went to Liberia in Grand Bassam County, Edina. We still had students sitting on the floor. There were no chairs. The school didn't have enough educational supplies. There were no toilet facilities for the children. So all of these contribute hardship to our students. You know, if you go to school. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson. Well, we really love what you just brought up. We're going to really go into that. We have to take a break now, and when we come back, we will make some introductions, and then we're going to come back to you, then to Avin as well. But just stick to where you are. Whoever tries to call, we want you to call in or text us your questions. The number to text us is 347-286-1716. The number once more is 347-286-1716. We want to hear from you. At this time, let us take a break. And when we come back, we'll be here.
Don't take all the la bamusa. Mam bébé dans tes corps de la bamunda. Yo lele dans tes corps de la bamunda.
We want to recognize all those who received the Eagles Award in Minnesota over the weekend from the 12 Diamond Development Initiative. And not just stop there, we also want to thank the Owen Johnson and his wife, the entire 12 Diamond family, for their continued support for the Radio NEMA International. These families have been the backbone of this radio station, and we are blessed to have them. We want to recognize them, and wherever you are, we want to say God bless you for being a continued support to the people of Liberia. Now, back to Ambassador Johnson. Ambassador Johnson, first of all, I want to start to ask you this question. Do you think the educational minister is succeeding in his policy?
You know, the first thing before we get there, we're just talking about do you believe that inefficiency is a major obstacle retarding efforts to providing collective education in Liberia? I want to say yes to that question, but I started to answer the question from the bottom. What I was trying to say before we went off for a break, these are things that government should have done to make the educational system to be more vibrant and effective. So I believe government is trying now to get back on the right trajectory to ensure that the educational sector of our country becomes very effective. You can go now with the next question.
Now, Mr. Alan Zecker, do you agree with Mr. Johnson, Ambassador Johnson, when he said that, yes, indeed, the education ministry is succeeding in their policies?
No, I didn't say they are succeeding, because the first thing is that they have not even started to implement those policies. What happened recently that we must give credit to the Ministry of Education, who is the regulating body of the government educational sector, is that they had they had a policy meeting in Grand Bassa County, wherein major stakeholders within the educational sector of Liberia were present, and people brought forth their ideas, suggestions, and recommendations. Based on some of those recommendations, government had just started to try some pilot programs. Like if you look at Sano County and I believe part of Grand Cru County, you'll see that they have introduced computer education to those children. So they have just started, but government has actually been ineffective when it comes to implementing the educational goals of Liberia. I want to be clear.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Johnson, for coming in and giving that huge elaboration. Now, before we get to Mr. Alvin Secker, now, we're talking about education policy. Education is a strategy. It's not formula. You have to strategize. And we are trying. We're doing our best to get the education minister to attend our show. We invited him. We sent him an open letter of invitation. I have tried personally. I wrote him on Facebook. And we want him to come out. We are not here to backbite anyone. We are not here don't go against anyone. We are here because of Liberia. Now, the education minister is a servant who's working for Liberia, and he should be obliged to come out and explain and tell the Liberian people, these are my policy. This is what I intend to do. This is what I've been doing, and this is what we're going to achieve as a country. So we're still looking ahead to see him honoring our invitation to be able to come on this show. But now, we want to go back to our second guest, Mr. Seger. Do you believe this? What is your opinion of government with regards to extended efficiency of education that is judged by the balance between the cost of investment in education and the economic benefit as measured by higher productivity of educated workers, that is, by social rate of return?
All right. Thank you very much. I've been listening,
Before I answer your question, I would like to interject, maybe coming as in regards to the topic concerning the education minister. I think, as Mr. Johnson said, Ambassador Johnson said, he has been doing some things. The time frame is too short. He just got there. But I personally, from following him on Facebook and even following some of the things that he's doing, I will say he has the vision, unlike his predecessor. I think he has the vision, and he just don't have the time yet because he just got there. And one thing that I've noticed about this education minister is he's more visible than most of our government officials. So hopefully, like you said, your invitation will be accepted, and he will come on here one day to contribute. But I've been following. I think if he gets the time, I think he will deliver. He will deliver and do something good. I like what I'm saying. He has not gotten to where we want to be because of the time constraint, but I think he has what it takes to get us there. So that's our hope. Now,
all
back
right. So,
to
Mr. Zegar, can I just stop you right there? We have a question from one of Jacob Jones. This question is coming from Facebook, and it's for Mr. Johnson, Ambassador Johnson. What is one thing this government has done to improve education in Liberia?
Well, I mean, that is a very difficult question to answer, but I'll try my best. I'll tell you that this government is attempting, at this time to improve education in Liberia. I want to say to you that since Madam Sirleaf came to power from 2005 up to present, personally, it is as of the time she appointed our new education minister that we've seen some transformation starting to emerge within the educational sector within our country. We've had education ministers in the past, the like of Dr. Joseph Dizer Kotu, Madam Emonion Tapet, Dr. Otelo Gonga, and you name the rest of them. Their presence were not felt. One of the biggest challenges that the sector has faced over the years have been the allotment that it received within our national budget. That has been great cry from past ministers that we've had. However, they fail to have provided to the public the amount of money that the ministry or the sector have received from donors' funding. And we are aware that since Madam Sirleaf came to power in 2005, one sector that have received huge contribution financially from donor funding has been the educational sector. But instead of priority being placed in the past on improving the system, teachers' training, trying to bring in modern books and library equipment that will put our students on par with their colleagues around the globe, was left.
Mr. Johnson,
yeah.
Do you mind if I can just pause you over there? Because I will want to come back to you so you can simplify some of some of the realities that you're talking about and some of the things that the education ministries are doing in Liberia. You might be knowledgeable, but we have a question from Abdullah on Facebook. He's from Liberia, looking time. He said, Mr. Seka, this question is for Mr. Seka. Then I'm going to come back to Mr. Johnson. What do you mean the minister has vision but don't have time? Are you insinuating that the minister is lame duck minister?
No, that was a good question. That's not what I meant. What I meant was he just got appointed to the position, and I was trying to give a back statement to what my colleague just said. I'm not referring to him as a lame duck minister in any way. What I said, though, was he has a vision unlike his predecessor. If he's given time, the time that those guys had, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, he has more to do. He just got there. I don't know how long it's going to take for our educational system right now that the government referred to back then as a mess to be to where we want it to be. Realistically speaking, I don't think he has enough time to get us where I would expect us to be. That's what I meant by that. So I didn't
okay,
mean
that. Now, I was still again. Let us just try to, because we are really running out of time, and
yeah,
our answers are really long, but we want to try to shorten it. You see, the first thing we want to establish is that the funding of education in Liberia is very limited. The budget in Liberia is limited as well as compared to even some institutions in America. So it tells us that government is now really funding education. They are not supporting education. It's a fact. Because if we believe in education and we invest in education, you see, whenever there is an investment, there is a return. So we have to first of all inform our government to invest in education. And that is why we're here. I want to thank you guys for already keeping this show and all of those who are calling. At this time, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to give each of you 5 minutes to give your closing argument. We will take a break right now.
This one is your boy Buck Cute again. I will never forget Jesus for everything he has done in my life. Join me, let's sing and dance and celebrate Jesus.
Educational talk show with Dr. Emmanuel Bradley, the Kid. We have gone 1 hour, and this is just 1 hour show. But we are excited. Well, we are excited that we are able to discuss the future of Liberia. We want to find solutions. We want to make recommendations to the Liberian education system. At this moment, we're going to recognize our guests to give their closing comment or argument, and then we're going to close our show. We want to first start with Ambassador Charles A. Johnson, Jr. Mr. Johnson, you are live? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Zeke. Can you get me?
You are live in Stephen.
Thank you. You know, before I proceed with my closing remark, let me first of all give a word of gratitude to this government for the foresight in establishing some community colleges around in counties that didn't have a single community college or a vocational technical training institution prior to the Ellen Johnson Sirleaf government. Why it's true that we must criticize this government, because up to 2015, this government had miserably failed
the educational sector of our country, despite the fact that there were some community colleges that were constructed and they are in full swing now, which emanated from this government, we gave them credit. But this government could have done more with the type of donor funding that they have received for the educational sector. But also, we want to look at our educational system from a more holistic standpoint. If you look at neighboring countries like Sierra Leone, Cote d'Ivoire, and Guinea to some extent, you will get to know that making a comparative analysis with these countries has over the years prioritized the educational sector more than Liberia, wherein it is reflected within the country budget. You will see that they have, after every budget period, they increase the budgetary allotment for the educational sector as compared to Liberia. We even see a decline in the educational sector budget of our country. Now, my colleague in studio said it right.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, we are actually out of time. I'm very sorry to cut you off.
No
we
problem.
We just got like 1 minute remaining, and hopefully we can bring you guys back in the studio. We're going to make an arrangement to see how we can bring you back. But at this time, we want to just go to Mr. Zeker so he can give his closing statement. I'm going to bring you guys back into this studio because this topic is very significant. It's time that we discuss the future of Liberia. Mr. Zeker, could you just give us your closing comment, remarks, please?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Doc. I highly appreciate it. I want to thank you and the administrator for this radio station for taking on this task. Thank you very much, and thanks to my colleague, too, for being in studio with me. Just a short thing I want to say. I think my recommendation to our Liberia educational system would be putting more emphasis on technical education. It seems to be that we are more geared towards general education. I think was one of your topics that you sent to us. Technical education is very, very important to our society. Hopefully, we can see the need for that and try to start building more technical colleges and schools around the country to try to see how we can get our brothers and sisters getting involved into more technical education and stuff like that. So thank you very much, man. It was an honor being in the studio with you. Like I said, I look forward to being a regular participant. Look forward to working with you more. If you need anything that you want from us, let us know, and we will be here for you. Thank you very much, my colleague Charles, for being here.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, before
Dr.
you guys
Dickens,
go,
Mr. Dickens,
yeah, Mr. Johnson, I want you to answer this question.
Yeah.
I want you to answer this question. This question is coming from one Ms. Comfort Weyi.
Mm-hmm.
Say, Mr. Johnson, Ambassador Johnson, did you say that the government is a failure?
No, I didn't say that the government is a failure. I said the government has scored a very low mark. They have failed in the. If I were to give them a grading mark, I would give this government a failing mark for our educational sector where it is since 2005 to present.
So, Mr. Johnson, you have 4,000 listening to you.
Yeah.
Our audience are so huge. Now, if you're saying that you're giving the government a failing mark, what is the difference between describing them as a failure and giving them a failing mark?
Now, the first thing, when you try to say the government is a failure, then you want to categorize the overall achievement of the government, and that is for another discussion. We are not having that discussion today. What we are discussing is the educational sector. We're saying that this government have had sufficient time to even do more than what they have started to do. So if Madam Salif had a George Weah probably in 2005 to be Minister of Education, probably would have had a better educational system for our country.
So where will you rank the government from 1 to 10? Where will you rank the government?
I just said if I were to give credit to this government for the educational sector, I will give credit to this government for the smooth implementation, constructions of community colleges that are operating. Like, we never had a community college in Grand Bassett County.
Mr. Johnson, I want us to address this issue, and then I have the P to the operator to give us 15 more minutes. Mr. Sanga, do you agree with Mr. Johnson? You know, he's saying that he gave 30 marks to the government, but he doesn't support that the government has failed. Do you agree with him?
Let's be clear on that. We didn't say we are discussing a particular topic. I want us to stick to the confines of this topic. We are not here to grade the overall achievement of this government. We are discussing education. If I were to grade this government for the educational work they have done from 2005 to 2015, I would give this government a failing mark of F.
Mr. Seka come in, please. Now, Mr. Adi, do you agree with Ambassador Johnson?
I agree with him. I agree with him partly. I think correct me if I'm wrong, Ambassador Johnson, I think what he's trying to say or what he's saying is, to answer that lady's question, is he's only focusing on the educational system because that's what we are here for tonight. That's what the topic is about. So if you were to grade the educational system, grade them according to what he's saying tonight. Now, if it was the entire government where he was grading or were dissecting or analyzing or discussing the government as a whole, it would have been another topic. I think that's what he's trying to say. But now, from my standpoint, I don't think I will differentiate the educational system from the government itself. So if the educational system falls, if it fails, and the transportation department fails, I think they are all the same tree. So you can't break it out.
Mr. Zegar, you just brought in an interesting point. You see, you don't want to differentiate the government, the education system for data. That's a great point. Now, Ambassador Johnson, do you agree with Avin?
Now, the thing is, I don't want to reduce this into like a argument, but
this is why we're here.
Yeah, what happened is that when you start to create entity, now, we all agree that the Ministry of Education is a part of the government. But if you look at major newspapers and news broadcast entities in Liberia, at the end of the year, they produce what you call the scorecard for different government agency, ministry, etc. And at the end of each of those scorecards, each entity of government receives a separate grade. So we're trying to use similar yardstick to grade the educational sector of our country. So what I am saying is that we will not delve into the Ministry of Transport, the Ministry of Commerce, et cetera, because we are not discussing those different areas of government. We are discussing the educational sector who falls under the watch view of the Ministry of Education. The Ministry of Education.
Mr. Johnson, we have questions put in. We have lots of questions coming in because let's take those questions. Here's another question. Mr. Johnson, you are saying that the education system failed. If you were to rate them, you have given them X.
Yes.
Then, how easy it is to say that the government has failed?
Well, you see, the thing is, I don't want to jump into the overall government like I keep saying. So what I will ask the questionnaires who are asking these questions to do is just bear patient with us. Let us discuss education today. If you want us to get into another topic with the aggregate of this government, let us talk about it at a subsequent time. I have a Facebook page.
Let's bring in Mr. Avin. Mr. Zanka, you said that you don't agree with Mr. Johnson, if I heard you right. Mr. Johnson is allegedly afraid to say that the government of Liberia has failed.
You can say that then you will not be doing me justice. You will not be doing me justice if you say that I am afraid. You see, sometimes we get ourselves caught in misrepresentation of ourselves. We've come tonight purposely to discuss education. So there's no need of us leaving the educational sector discussion that we're having, to start discussing the justice sector, to start discussing the mining sector. Then we found ourselves confused about the purpose of our discourse here tonight.
Mr. Johnson, we are not arguing, but the problem is that we are talking about the education system. Now, if we're saying the education system has failed, you said it in your earlier argument. If you want to grade the government, you are giving them X.
Okay. Yes, and
now,
I'm a team.
Mr. Alvin, do you agree with your pseudo guest?
You know, my colleague is making a lot of great points. What I think he's doing is he's looking at it from a different perspective. And what the callers and myself and yourself, like everyone is doing, is we are looking at it from a holistic perspective. Now, there's no way you can differentiate the educational system from the government of Liberia. In as much as we want to discuss the educational system, we can't detach that from the government.
You're right.
Yeah, we can't detach that in no way, shape, or form. So we have
to. Do you agree with Mr. Ziegler?
I agree 100%, and I just told you that why it is true that you cannot divorce the educational sector from this government. But
Correct. You
have to understand that the mandate of the Ministry of Education and the educational sector of Liberia is separate, independent, and exclusive that of the Ministry of Finance. Having agreed with you,
let us allow Alvin Zeker to lay his premise.
All right. So now, you know, you cannot now anything that happened at that Minister of Education, the Minister of Education, he reports to the president, and it is a fiduciary duty to the Liberian people to make sure that what he's there for, to make sure that it's done on time, and to take care of the educational system. Now, the government appointed him is an appointed position. So the system, and you might agree with me on this one, the education system, to me personally, is one of the most important sector of the government, in the world, in Liberia, let's say, in this case. So the government
Can we take this question? We have another question coming on Facebook. Can we just take it, please? I'm sorry, Ivy. Let me just hold you right there. Mr. Johnson, you have a question from one poor passerby on Facebook. He's in Monrovia. Mr. Johnson, we are up because we want to listen to you guys. You see, lots of people in Liberia are up at this moment just to listen to both of you. It's after 2 a.m. here in Liberia. We sat up to hear and learn from you guys. But why are you escaping this debate? Education and government, there's no big difference. Let's discuss national issues. Stop beating around the bush. So that we that set it up can be able to stand it. We are counting on you guys to be our mouthpiece in America. Please answer the question.
Okay, let's get to this. Let me make this very clear that I am a very serious opposition to this government. I'm not part of this government. And I am also a very constructive opposition to this government. If we were to bring in other sectors to discuss, there are so many areas that this government has failed us. I will agree with my counterpart in studio that this government, if that's what he said, has failed us. But however, for the benefit of this discussion, we were discussing the educational sector. I didn't want to jump and bring in other area that was not part of the discussion. We all see and we all know that this government had almost 12 years. And of the almost 12 years, we've gone 11 years. We've gone about 11 mm-hmm. years. And the 11 years that have elapsed for this Unity Party-led government, there's nothing tangible that we can see. I have been on national radio, and I'm a team calling on my people not to elect Vice President Joseph Yuman Bwaka asked
Mr. Johnson, do you agree? Let's try to answer the question for our listeners in Liberia because they are very upset.
I just told you because you have complained.
We established. Yes.
Hold on. I just told you because you've compelled me to go in other areas. So I'm telling you now that this government has failed the Liberian people. But because we're only discussing
educational-wise, right? We're talking about education. I haven't gone to different parts. Educational-wise.
Then you just allow me to start talking about other areas because I just told you that this government failed us educational-wise. But you try to say...
We got your point, Ambassador Johnson. You fully agree that the government has failed us educational-wise.
Exactly.
We have.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's no argument about that.
Listen, 1 minute. I want to make this clear. In as much as this government has failed us educational-wise, and if I was to give an oral, I would say the government has failed us, but I want to commend the current Minister of Education. I want this to be clear. I want to commend the current Minister of Education for the level of work and vision that he's brought to the table thus far since he took over. I work closely with the educational ministry sector in Liberia.
Can we take this question for One Comfort on Facebook?
Please take
she said, Ambassador Johnson, could you be specific when you say that the present educational minister has succeeded in different areas? Could you be specific? Tell us
I can name some area. Let me tell you what happened. I leaped with joy when I saw in Sino, and I believe Grand Cru County, students sitting at desks with computer before them. I leaped with joy. I leaped with joy when I saw our education minister in short pants moving from school to school in the leeward part of our country. Since I was born in Liberia, I never saw those things happen. I leap with joy when I saw our educational minister displaying pictorials of vehicles that he used to go to Sino Grand Cru that got stuck in mud. He slept on the highway just because he wanted to go and meet with the students and meet other part of the country to see how our educational sector is being run. I also leap with joy when I heard, I am originally from Barnesville Estate, that our educational minister went to E.J. Gurich High School and he was able to weed out all professional teachers from the classroom. I never saw this. I lived in Liberia all my life. I never saw this happening during my days. So I must give him.
Mr. Johnson, let's bring in. Mr. Avi Secker. Mr. Secker, you are working in Nima County, and have the education minister visited Nima County and try to enhance education in those areas.
Let me also react to my colleague's point. I have to, we are happy to see what the minister is doing. And like I said from my opening statement, I think he has a vision and everything. I'm happy that you are leaping with joy, but I also think it is not where we want to be or where we have to be to leap with joy. Leap with joy for the very few that you see in Sano and what, if you go to Bond County, if you go to Nima County, if you go to other counties outside of where he went, those few places he went and you saw the pictures on Facebook, you would not leap with joy. And if we're leaping with joy, we should leap with joy for everybody across the country. So now to your question, Doc, in Nimba, I have not seen anything like that in Nimba. And we do have the community college there, which I also have to agree with Ambassador Johnson about the community colleges being very important to our educational system. But outside of that, if you go to rural part of Nimba and other counties, I'm only talking about Nimba because they're where I go, you will feel bad. Because, like you said, no road to get there, nothing. Those people are there. So we should not isolate those people who don't have the means to be in Monrovia, in Ganto, and other places that are closer to the government.
So, Mr. Johnson, what do you have to say about what Mr. Zerka had just said?
Okay, listen to me. I don't want for my colleague in studio to take what I just said out of context, because this is it. We've already agreed in principle that the sector has failed. But what I am saying is that, and even up to present, the improvement or the new impact that we're seeing about to emerge or that have emerged within the sector, we must give credence to the head.
And when I'm saying that I leap with joy, like I said earlier, I went to Grand Bassett County, where I'm from, to take supplies to school. At the time, you had the President Pro Tempore of the Senate still from Grand Bassett County and the Deputy Speaker. As a matter of fact, that district is the district of the Deputy Speaker, where you had children still sitting on the floor. And I want to believe that we still have hundreds of students still sitting on the floor in classroom across the country. However, my heart leaps with joy because I'm seeing a new day. I agree with my colleagues that the minister might not have enough of time to accomplish everything that's on his agenda. But we must give him some credit. He started the work. And if the work that he started, if it had been from 2005 to now, we would have been seeing a transformed educational sector.
Okay, Mr. Zinker, when the education minister took office, he had a proposal that he brought up for. Now, what happened to this proposal? Any of you guys can just address that.
I'll let Ambassador Johnson speak to that, because I think he's more versed when it comes to the current approaching things that have to do with the current leadership of the education ministry there. I have not seen that proposal, and I've heard of it, but I've not been able to read it. So, Ambassador Johnson, you want to speak to that?
What's the question?
Well, listeners are very concerned about the proposal that was brought forth by the education minister, the new education minister. Schools were closed. People were promoted before their time. Do you mind addressing this issue? Why? Where have been the proposal? What is the status of the proposal, as we speak?
I don't want to give any misleading information. I have not read that proposal. The only thing that I followed was when the Ministry of Education took all those concerns within the sector of the Grand Bassett County to present that particular proposal. And I think the intent, from what I gathered from the Ministry of Education, as per the PRO that were done prior to the Grand Bassett meeting, what it said was that they were having that big gathering so that everybody could be in attendance to provide their input and look at the proposal and provide suggestions before the proposal be adopted and implemented. But I didn't see the proposal, and I don't want to comment on it before I gave misleading information. I don't want to do that.
Well, gentlemen, I think there is a significant need for the education minister to appear on this talk show and address some of these issues, because this is very significant for our country. We're talking about the interference of government, educational policy. How is it real for our country? How
when
do
you
see?
What do you want to
now,
host?
Mr. Johnson, we want to hold you over there for a while. Let's go back to Adam, what are some recommendations you want to give to the education ministry?
I think the minister, like I said, I'll stay up to my point, and I also, my colleague and I, we agree to that. The education minister, I personally believe he has a vision. I don't know the backstory of what type of support he's getting. And the educational gap, the stats we have in Liberia is momentous. It's not a small thing. I don't care who you are, what type of experience you have, it will take a lot of work and a lot of time to get those accomplished. So my recommendation to the education minister is to appear on these shows like yours, explain to Liberian people what policy he has, what plan he has for the country, for the time that he's there for. Continue to engage people like he does on Facebook. I'm friends with him on Facebook. I stay interacting with other people and answering questions and coming forward with what he has and trying to implement the plan he has. I strongly recommend, I keep saying I'm a big proponent of technical education. Everyone cannot go to school to become a medical doctor. Not everyone will become a PhD holder or whatever it is. We have to use that technical college experience to have some people go to school. Look now, population in Liberia, and see the amount of young people we have. And now you see everyone going to school to do geology. It used to be political science before, but now everyone is shifting to geology. So that's the need, that's a dying need for technical education in Liberia. And that would be my recommendation to the education minister to see how the government
now,
can get into that.
Let us take this question. Jacob Dennis in New York. He said, Johnson, you are really joking tonight. How is Mr. George Warner a hero for education and Bwaka is the worst man? Because George's car got stuck in the mud, does that make him a hero for education reform in Liberia? Also, your claim that George removed teachers in Monrovia is not true at all. If it's true, give us a news article, link, or reference for us to check it out. You are on international radio. Don't forget. This is for Liberia. Mr. Johnson.
Listen to me. After the show, I'm going to publish the link on my Facebook page. That's one. And I will share that. I will share that with you so that you can publish that too. I did not refer to the Minister of Education as hero. I mean, we are sitting right here. What I said that I only alluded to some of the good work that he started to do. And we will reemphasize this. We said, had we had this minister from the onset of this administration, then probably this educational sector that we're talking about as in the dream would not be where it is. But I didn't refer to the education minister as a hero. I am telling you that since he's been on his job less than a year, we see what he's done and what he started to do. And like my colleague in studio said, we see how available he is. So we must give him some credit for that.
Okay. Now, you see, it's very good. I'm not against the educational minister as well. I'm here to help him. I want him to succeed. I want Liberia to succeed. And this is why we are inviting him so that he can come and explicate some of these strategies that he has on the book. I'm kind of really interested in the part on the proposals that he brought up for that could renovate schools, that could, you know, recreate strategies that would benefit our education system. Now, since today, Liberia has the worst education system in the world. Now, it's not, you see, this is beyond an individual. If you look at the allotment in the budget, you're going to see that the government is allocating the least amount to education. How can this individual succeed being a single person, being someone employed by the president? How can he succeed with that kind of little amount being a lawyer for education?
Let me say this to you, right? And that is the reason why when we said this United Party-led government should not resurface back to power, somebody want to narrow the discussion down to the education minister being hero, which, of course, we didn't make a reference to. Now, the vice president has been vice president to this president going on to 12 years. What has been his personal take on improving the educational sector of our country? The president and vice president should be working in collaboration. They have appointing power to appoint a minister of education and dismiss a minister of education. And we all see how struggling our educational sector has been over the years. What has this vice president done to see the educational sector be improved, that we should not elect him back? Do you know what's going to happen? The electricity rate is just going to be increasing in our country because, from all indications, this vice president does not prioritize education.
Come on, let's bring in Avi. Avi, do you agree with Mr. Johnson?
So, Liberia is from 1847, the oldest nation on the continent. So now, it's unacceptable, regardless of who's in power, whoever is there. Our people are not supposed to be settling for mediocrity. Our educational system is bad. From those that were there before to those that are there now, they have failed our people, and people deserve more than that. We should not be talking 2016
where in Bhutto, where you don't have, you said they have curriculum in the country, the school is operating without school curriculum, a government school, a government-funded school, so to say. So, I mean,
now,
I have to say,
Mr. Zega, I want to agree with you that the Liberian education system needs strong, reform-minded, idealistic leaders who are committed to equity and excellence in our schools. And this is something that we are not seeing. Look, we all are young men. You get what I'm saying? But there is something lacking in our country. We need to fix it. And this is why this show is all about. It's not a show out. We want to find solutions. We want to make recommendations to the Liberian education system.
But can
the
I,
education
can I
ministry...
Not,
yeah,
can
let
I come to woman?
Let the moderator finish. First
okay.
of all, we have identified that the education system has failed us. The second thing here is to identify why are they failing. There is not enough money to support education in Liberia. Mr. Johnson, do you agree with me?
Let me come in, right? I heard my colleague saying that it doesn't matter who become the leader of the country. Our educational system has been bad. I can tell you that back then in the 80s and before all of the different civil unrest in our country, we had a very good educational system. Our university was ranked in Africa. Our medical school was ranked in Africa. Our law school was ranked in Africa. We have foreigners coming to Liberia to go and attend our university, our medical school, and our law school. You understand me? Now, what happened
Correct.
Is that we should not forget that government should be a government of continuity. When you start to bring forth this argument, the first thing that those who are in the realm of power now will tell you, the war. The war been over. We have had a government in place for almost 12 years. And up to present, this government cannot show us any significant mark that they have made with regards to the educational sector other than the few community colleges that they built over the years. That's the only thing we can see. As we speak today, there are still children somewhere in Monserrato County that's sitting on the floor. That children going to school, they do not have safe drinking water. Children going to school, they do not have a lab. Children going to school, they do not even have a library in the school to be able to read books. We're talking about public schools. So we want to believe that if we want to narrow down this discussion, let's hold our current government. We all not far from each other. Look at the allotment. I'm telling you, if you go on the Ministry of Finance and Development Planning website, you will see the allotment to the Ministry of Education. It declines year after year. But then we see the Minister of Finance having $44 million for general cleans. What is general cleans?
Johnson, you got another question. Ambassador Johnson, the question is coming in. Please take the one. Another question. I'm going to read it out. The questionnaire wants to remind anonymous. The questionnaire wants to remain anonymous because he knows Ambassador Johnson. He asks, Ambassador Johnson, wow, this vice president doesn't prioritize education. That's a big allegation you are making tonight, brother. Are you willing to stand by this allegation when thousands of people listen to this show tomorrow on the internet?
I would tell whoever that question came from, yes, because you cannot divorce. Now, people got to understand, how can we divorce the vice president from the Unity Party government? If all of us in studio today discussing and saying that this government, we agree in principle that this government has failed in the educational sector, how can we divorce the vice president when the vice president is the second man in command in this government? How can we divorce this vice president? I want to see this vice president coming up.
Mr. Johnson, let us try to stop the order because we want our listeners in Liberia and everywhere in the world to be able to understand us. Now, if you think that the vice president had not support education in the past, even in the present, now, what would you say? Hello? No. Go ahead. Let me land. If you say that the vice president had not prioritized education, now what would you say about the entire education ministry? Now we see that the allotment is small.
Still,
yet still,
I told you
the education minister. The education minister is faltering. People are not leaving their jobs. You see the education minister, he travels from one country to another. All right, he takes pictures, he put it on Facebook. But yet still, people are complaining about it. The money is small. So why would he continue to be in a job and not say nothing about it? The allotment is small, and you're faltering and laughing.
Listen to me. I'm not the official spokesman of the Minister of Education. The only thing that I am connected with this Minister of Education on is that I see since he started, we've seen him moving about, not only the foreign travels that he's making. This minister could tell you because often when I follow him religiously on Facebook, he tells you often when he travels out of the country, he's out there with donors trying to seek funding to take back
but
to
Mr.
help.
But Mr. Johnson, you're sounding like a spokesman of the education minister.
I just told you that I follow this education minister religiously. And I am connected to him based on what I see him do as compared to the other four ministers that have held that position prior to him. I'm telling you, I was in Liberia actively involved with the Federation of Liberian Youth, the Liberian National Student Union, student campus politicking. You can name the rest. And we follow this issue closely. There have been no education minister since Ellen took over that have made the little attempt this man has made. So we should be, like I told you from the onset of this discussion, we gave this government credit for those community colleges. But at the same time, we drag this government for failing us. And you know something? The education ministry,
yes.
If I were to grade them today, I would grade the education ministry F. With the pressure of this minister also, I would say the entire ministry has F. But then we say,
right.
Let us look at ministers that this minister has made some money.
Mr. Johnson, we want to thank you so much for honoring our invitation. We are pleased that you were able to come here and agree with us that our government has failed us in education. We
yes.
want to bring you back in the studio. We want to bring you back, both of you back, because this topic is very dynamic. It's very significant for our country. But, you know, we're going to almost like 2 hours, and we cannot keep being here. So we have to cut the show off. I want to apologize to our listeners from around the world. I know you're really following this show. And we have like almost 4,000 listeners and participants, just people just listening tonight. So I want to tell you guys thank you to both of you for coming. And please look out for another invitation because Mr. Johnson and Mr. Staker, we want to have you back in studio so that we can lengthily discuss this issue. Why must government interfere in education, educational policy? Aria, I want to thank every one of you. Welcome to the Educational Talk Show with Dr. Emmanuel Bravidi here. At this show, we find solutions. We make recommendations to the Liberian education system. I want to thank all of you in Radio Land, Liberia, America, and different parts of the world for turning in. Please turn in next Monday at 9:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 Central Time, and 2:30 Liberian Time. May God richly bless you. I want to thank you. Bye.
Letting your heart come out. gave up my faith.